We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
I've decided to make Jesus my choice. How many witnesses are in the house today? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this another opportunity to hear your word. Lead us in the text. Teach us what you'd have us to hear and to see, and more especially to believe. And God, we pray that you would allow the Holy Ghost to deal with each of us individually and all of us collectively, and we'll be ever so careful to give your name the praise and glory, for it is in Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said, amen. God bless you. Stand to your feet. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 20 and 21. Book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 20 and 21. Recorded are these words. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, Be Careful What You Say, Part 2. All right, then. Be careful what you say. My brothers and sisters, it is important for us, as we look at the warnings of God in the Word of God, one of the wisest men who ever lived penned this proverb. And what is important about it is the lessons that we shall take from this word. He gives to us some serious sacred suggestions and some helpful holy hints as to keep our souls from trouble and to keep us in a right place of expectation based upon the seeds we sow with the words that come out of our mouth. One of the things that I think you need to hear, he says, a man's belly. And when he says a man, he's talking about mankind. So a man's belly, a woman's belly, child belly, it doesn't matter. It's humankind. a person's stomach shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Now what this simply says is you're going to get satisfaction out of what you have spoken into existence. In other words, you're going to be satisfied, your stomach is going to be full, or it's going to be ingratiated with the fruit of what you have spoken with your mouth. In other words, what you have spoken has germinated, has caused a harvest, and you're going to eat from that that you have spoken. Now, somebody said, be careful what you say, because one day you're going to have to eat those words. And how appropriate is that saying? Because this is exactly what this word is saying. Be careful what you say, because the words you say one day you'll have to eat. And what I want us to pay attention to, as you all are shouting all over the church now, it is that there is a convicting part to this word that brings the reality to our own minds that what we have already experienced in life has already come as a result of the things we have already said. And so if things don't taste too good to you right now, it's because they weren't good when you spoke them. If you don't like the way they taste to you now, then imagine how they tasted to the person you spoke them to. Now, it goes beyond that. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Well, before there can be fruit, there must be root. Now, to get root, you have got to release those words as seeds from your mouth so that they can take hold in the cosmos, so as to germinate and produce a harvest. And so it is only after you release those words do they begin to take form and take shape to produce what you have spoken. That's why, just like when you plant apple seeds, you get what? Apples. When you plant watermelon seeds, you get what? And so on and so forth. Because the seed has the DNA of the fruit in it. So you'll never get one seed and the fruit looks or is something else, because it is coated in the seed to look like what it should be. And so God is not going to let you speak nasty, ill, and evil things and then come back and get beautiful and precious and lovely words. It doesn't work like that. And so here's what it goes on to say. It says, and with the increase of the lips shall he be filled. Now, what it means here is when he recognizes that I have gotten what I've gotten by speaking out of my mouth this certain thing, I can have more of it by speaking more of it. Now, if I don't like negativity when it comes back and I have to eat it, here's the truth. If I keep on speaking it, it's going to keep on growing. If I don't have sense enough to change it, then I'm going to be filled with nothing but negativity because of the increase, with the increase of my lips, meaning that I speak. If I keep on speaking the same thing, what am I going to get? More of the same thing. I'm not going to get something better. I'm not going to get something different. I'm going to get the same thing if I keep speaking the same thing. And then 21 goes on to make it a little clearer. For it starts off, and I like the position that God places these two options in. He starts off by saying life and death. Life and death. It suggests that it's put in the position of priority. God wants you to choose life over death. But he wants you to know both of them work on the same principles. Life and conjunction time death with this same principle. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Life functions on the same principle as death. Death functions on the same principle as life. What is the principle? The principle is this, that both of them are powered by or empowered by the tongue. So that means life, which means the vigor, the vim, the essence of life, all that is lively and hopefully, actively engaged, all of those things that makes life worth living. That's life. And then death. Death represents that has died, that has no life, absence of life, void of activity, death. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So that means, listen, before life comes or before death comes, you speak it. You literally provide a path for life or death to travel. Life and or death takes its lead from your direction. You will have life when you speak life, when you speak positively, when you speak with hope, when you speak what you desire to see rather than what you are seeing. It is that life, the effervescence of what God promised, and what you bind on earth, he'll bind in heaven. What you loose on earth, he'll loose in heaven. It makes it clear that by the power of your tongue, you are able to procreate, you are able to reproduce the likeness of what your tongue says. In other words, it follows the paradigm of Genesis 1, where God spoke everything into existence. He spoke it first, and it came to pass. The Bible says, and it was. And everything it was good. God didn't speak no evil into the world. Did you notice? Everything God spoke, it was good. And what was good came to pass. It came to pass because he spoke it. And when he spoke it good. And when he spoke it good, it came good to pass. And there wasn't anything anybody could do about it. And so in a lesser light or form, we have that same privilege in our speaking. We too, like God, can speak those things that be not as though they were. Amen. Listen, and they shall come to pass. But there is another part of this verse that I really want us to focus in on and understand some things too to help us out. So the power of the tongue means that it gives credence to, it gives the support system to, making those words come to life. The power of the tongue. You release them, but the releasing of them with the tongue gives the affirmation that you want those things to happen. Amen. Both life and death are in the power of the tongue. Now the next part says, and they that love it. Love what? life or death. But guess what it isn't? Life and death. Because it says, they that love it, not they that love them. So it means literally, you got a choice. You won't speak life and death in a situation because one cancels out the other. But it says, and they that love it, love it. Now, don't rush over love too much because love is where the affections really are, where you understand you put everything that you've got into this thing. Love means that you are nurturing this thing, cultivating this thing, continually thinking about this thing. So you are putting much of you in this thing when you love it. Now that I love it, that means I didn't just say it and forgot about it. You don't forget about what you love. Can I get a witness in the house? What you love, you're constantly thinking about it. Matter of fact, Percy Sledge says, when a man... loves a woman, he can't keep his mind... I guess ain't no men in love in this building yet. On nothing else. Why? Because when you love something, it consumes you. That's why you can't say you love the Lord and you visit him every now and then. You come to church every now and then. You give every now and then. You try and represent him every now and then. If you love him, it's going to show every day. Something about your loving him will cause you to talk about him, say something about him, show something about him, demonstrate toward him. If you love him, folk gonna know you love him. Sitting there thinking about what God has done for you, smile, break out, cross your face, folks. What you smiling about? I'm just thinking about the goodness of the Lord. I can't forget what he's done for me. Every time I think of his goodness and all that, ooh. See, that's when you love him. And so notice here with this same kind of love, the Bible says, and they that love it, love it. So that means you either love life or you love death. But you can't love them both. And so that means you need to make a choice in what you choose to say. Words of life, words of death. But notice here now that you can't speak words of life and get back death. Just like you can't speak words of death, negativity, wrongness, backwardness, darkness, and all the rest of that, and get life. It doesn't work that way. And you, through the speaking, releasing of the words with the tongue in your mouth, empowers those words for God to bring to pass. Now, again, I want to throw back out this word love, because when it says, and they that love it, again, literally means that they do everything within their power to see this word come true. Just like the farmer who plants the seed. Does he plant the seed and walk away? No. Does he plant the seed and forget about the seed? No. But he cultivates that seed. He gives that seed everything it needs to grow. He checks on that seed. He's always doing something to bring about the enhancement and the growth of that seed because he loves the fruit that shall come as a result of that seed that has taken root. Now, you said that to say what, Pastor? Thank God that he knows us better than we know ourselves. And how many of us will be honest enough to say that we have said things that we really don't mean, Amen. Even about us? Amen. How many times have you been so mad you said, I wish such and such would happen? I wish the Lord strike you down dead. Amen. Now, you might have been upset and mad and so forth and all, but did you really mean that? I wish the Lord take my life. Do you really want the Lord to take your life? You know, all of these crazy things we say, do you know why the Lord knows we don't mean those things? Because we don't do nothing to help them come to pass. Y'all gonna catch that when you wake up. Because if you meant that, you'd be doing things that would resemble the reality of your request. And so because you don't, God knows you're just talking talk. Crazy talk. Foolish talk. Unprofitable talk. Talk that you're going to have to answer for one day. Talk that you're going to have to give an account for one day. But God knows that's not talk that you really mean, because they that love it, the Bible says, in this word shall, this affirmative word shall, this word that is a word that is complete within itself, that literally means it's going to happen, shall eat the fruit thereof. Shall. If I speak life, I'm going to eat the fruit of life. If I love life, I'm going to walk, talk, live, give, do everything I can that relates to life. And I'm going to eat the fruit of life. If I speak of death and all of those things, darkness, destruction, et cetera, all of my action, my ways, everything else is turned toward that. And that's going to be a reality of my life. People see me and say, he must have a death wish, because my activities will follow the words that come out of my mouth that I love one day and I'm looking forward to happening. Shall eat the fruit thereof. So between these two verses, I'm going to give you three things that I find in these verses that I think will be helpful to you. One is that these words reveal to us that you can't unschedule your harvest. Shall eat the fruit thereof. Shall. You can't unschedule your harvest. That's why you want to be careful what you speak and what you invest in, because that you continue to say over and over again, it becomes an investment and a releasing out of your mouth, and the directions are given and life will follow that path until it happens. You can't unschedule your harvest. Next thing I want to tell you about this that I've discovered about these verses is you can't substitute your menu. Shall eat the fruit thereof. What does the Bible says? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You can't change the menu. Now that's going to be surprising to some. Because how many folk, including present company, have given out what they don't want back? Y'all sitting there acting holier than thou, but I have said some things I don't want said to me. I've learned since then, but I've said them. Yeah, I've given out some things I don't want coming back to me. But when they come back, I can't change the menu. Say, no, I don't want this. Could you give me something different? No, because what I gave out, I'm getting back. what you give out. Man, this has probably been the most exciting sermon with the best response I've had all year. You can't. No way you can substitute the menu. And then the third thing is, you can't shun your season. You cannot shun, run away, turn away, hide from your season. You see, when it's your time, it's your time. Jesus makes that clear. Jesus has been telling the disciples for many years, 3 years at least, that he has come to die. Jesus has told them that for this reason he has come. When the time came, he said, well, what should I say? Should I pray to the Father and tell him, oh no, now that my time come, Father, make this pass from me? He said, no, for this reason have I come. I can't shun my season. And so when those things, listen, there is rejoicing for those who will have life. But there will be sorrow in your season when you have death, because you cannot shun that season. And everything that comes to you, don't care how much folk pray for you, lay hands on you, try to change things for you, they cannot help you get rid of your season. You have got to endure your season. And so some of us have got to realize, if nothing else, that our seasons are coming, good or bad, happy or sad, they're coming. Be careful what you say, because they are the words that are fruit, when they are rooted, will come back, and you have to eat what you've planted. To God be the glory. The doors of the church are open.
For my way, you're the... Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. You can receive today's message by sending $5 for cassette, $8 for CD, and $15 for DVD to 911 Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806, or call area code 225-774-8040, leaving your name, address, and order. Or you can purchase today's message at Stars Beauty Salon, 525 16th Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, on Tuesday and Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., Thursday and Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. May God richly bless you is our prayer.
KKKAYT 88.1 FM. 70,000 watts of gospel power. Beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
What are you here for? When God created you, what was he thinking? I believe that no matter who or where you are, you have been created with a purpose to do something extraordinary. Listen, you are not an accident. Your failures do not disqualify you. Past mistakes cannot petrify you. And the opinions of people cannot nullify you. It's not over. God has a now word for your life. Stay tuned.
Playing gift.